Hey, how's it going, guys? And welcome back to another Diamond Discussion Short with my co-host here, Joe Stumpo. I am Mike Caliendo. So I want to start off by saying if you guys can please follow us on Instagram at DiamondDiscussions25. Throw some comments at us. Throw something, things you guys want to hear about. Also, if you want to hit us on Twitter at DDDiscussions25, again, same thing. Hit us up. Reach out to us. We want to hear from you guys and hear what you guys want to talk about. But this short, we're going to go into Milestone Watch. So we're going to talk about a bunch of players that are going to reach some very big career milestones in their careers and see where this takes them. So starting off, right off the rip, we got Justin Verlander, who is 84 strikeouts away from 3,500, but not all there. He is 94 strikeouts from passing Walter Johnson. He is also 119 strikeouts from passing Gaylord Perry, and he's 159 strikeouts away from passing Don Sutton. Now, as a joke, I'm going to say this could get a little repetitive because the guy behind him is right there neck and neck. Two former teammates that are could potentially move into the top 7-8 all-time in career strikeouts. Now, at least with Verlander, I mean, he's had an incredible career. He's won a couple of Cy Youngs. He's pitched in some really big moments, won some World Series. But if he can get into the top 7 all-time strikeouts, I think he is, without a doubt, a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's had unbelievable career, and obviously hoping he stays healthy, he could reach these feats. I think it's entirely possible. So
yeah, and you know, the guy behind him is another potential Hall of Famer, Max Scherzer. He's actually 93 away from the 3,500 club. They are 10th and 11th ranked, respectively, Mike, on their list. So that's pretty cool that they're right behind each other, 1 and 2. Also being former teammates too, which is pretty cool that they're right neck and neck with that. And he is 103 strikeouts away from passing Walter Johnson. So they're both neck and neck in respect with that as well. And these are just two monster guys, man, that have been just doing their thing day in and day out, year in and year out. It's pretty crazy how they've lasted this long, especially with Verlander. He was injured for and had some problems, and that he was able to overcome it. And this is pretty cool. This is really cool that they got this far. And we'll probably see this year. If they could stay healthy, they're really going to get to this feat, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is awesome for the two of them. I mean, it's it's nice. And again, like they had some big years together in Detroit. I know they met up again later on in their careers with the Mets, and it unfortunately didn't go the way that Met fans had hoped. But you know what? That's in the past, and you know that is what it is. But outside of starting pitching, we have another guy that's very close to another big milestone, and that is Clayton Kershaw. He is 32 strikeouts from reaching 3,000 on the list. And he's also, potentially, if he stays healthy when he gets back, I believe in June, he has the possibility to reach the top 3 all-time feat by left-handed pitchers. He is 126 strikeouts away from passing CC Sabathia to, again, get into third place all-time for a lefty as a starting pitcher. I mean, Kershaw, he's been one of my favorite pitchers to watch.
Just a horse, Brad.
Yeah. It's unfortunate the last few years to see how, you know, he's been dealing with the injury bug. Me personally, again, I've been a fan of him since he first came up, and I would love to see him reach this plateau. I think this is another guy. We're talking about 3 potential first ballot Hall of Famers that if they all retire after this season, they could go on the ballot together, and that would just be an incredible Hall of Fame class.
Absolutely. And you, I mean, Mike, I don't know if you agree with this, but you got to put him in the conversation with being the best left-handed Dodger since Sandy Koufax. You know, he's got to be up there. I mean, he's really put together some career where it's really mind-boggling, honestly, to see the numbers. And like you said, some of the injuries that he's had to go through to be this close in that list is just unbelievable. And this is only going to solidify his Hall of Fame career, honestly. There's no reason why he doesn't go first ballot. It should be a no-brainer. It's just really unbelievable. And I'm happy to see him actually re-sign and, get a shot to do this because he signed a little late and people were getting a little nervous there. Baseball fans, not even Dodger fans, just baseball fans in general, just to see this legend. He's a legend. Especially,
absolutely. Without a doubt.
Yeah, just, you know, him being a lefty too. It's really unbelievable. And I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me too. And I hope and pray that his health is on his side this year, because I would love to see him get to his feet. Again, like I've said, I've been a big fan of him from the beginning. I forget the number he wore when he first came up, but I think it was somewhere in the 50s. And it was like, who is this guy? And he had that funky delivery. And it was like, okay. And he had a very good debut. Very interesting. And I can't believe, looking at his number, I can't believe he's been in the league for 18 seasons.
It's crazy. I know. I feel like it's blinked and it's just we're here. Like, yeah. It's 18 seasons later. I feel like it's just gone, you know, and especially us on the East Coast, we don't get to watch him as much. But because we're such baseball fans, we were able to follow, you know, and keep up with it. And he's been a horse. He's been a beast, minus the injuries. I know he's had some, you know, ups and downs with his injuries. But when he was out there, he was out there. He was a gamer every time, every fifth day. He was taking the rock, and he was going out there and doing his thing. And you just got to applaud him for that, man. And just to see him get this far, and, you know, like I said, being on this list and getting to this, you know, accomplishment, it just really is awesome.
Yeah, another interesting note between, if you want to even have some more connection with all three of these guys, I know Verlander won a Cy Young and an MVP in the same year, and Kershaw did the same. He won a Cy Young and an MVP. I mean, so just that company of those three guys, just the fact that we've gotten to see these guys pitch the way they have and done it for as long as they have has been very impressive. You know, so I'm rooting for all three guys to reach this mark. But moving on, we have some potential milestones in the relief pitcher world. So we have Kenley Jansen. He is three saves away from reaching the 450 mark, which is incredible. And he is also, listen, not entirely out of the realm of possibility, but he is 32 saves away from passing Lee Smith for third all-time on the all-time saves leaderboard there. I mean, Kenley, listen, I know not a lot of closers have made it to the Hall, but I think if Kenley gets to this feat, I think it's undoubtable he gets in. I think maybe the tides have turned as far as the closers go with the Hall of Fame stuff. And another notable guy that is here, listen, I know he doesn't have a team yet, but if he does get one, but Craig Kimbrell is also 10 away from reaching 450 as well. I mean, two guys, again, Kimbrell was electric when he first came up. He was practically unhittable. Between the both of them, if they, you know, if Kimbrell could actually sign with a team and, you know, maybe find it and find a way to get some 10 saves there, I mean, this is incredible for the game. This is incredible for the closers that these two guys that have had almost identical careers, you know, similar to the Scherzer-Verlander thing, even though they never played together. But, you know, they both have an opportunity to get into some elite company.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like, and you wouldn't even think about it. Like, you know, these guys, they always pitched in high leverage spots. They were always in big games, you know, big time at bats against guys, you know, facing them on the mound every time that they were in a situation where they had to come in for a save. And sometimes you won't even realize that they have these numbers. You really don't even put together, like, wow, you look at it, Kenley Jansen, he's three away from 450? Oh my gosh. It's like you wouldn't even think about it, honestly. But they did their thing. He's got a 2.57 career ERA. He's got over 1,200 strikeouts, Kenley Jansen. Like, these guys had monster careers if you look at it. And if he does get the 32 saves, which is really something that he could really get. I know Anaheim's not the best of ball clubs, and they're going to have their struggles. But 32 saves is not something that, you know, on a bad team that you can't, you know, achieve. It's definitely achievable. If he gets that, he's 100% in the Hall of Fame, Mike. I mean, to be in that top three all-time list, you have to be in. I mean, like you said, closers don't get that much love. But if he gets, you know, to be a part of this list, which he's already sniffing already to begin with, he's got to be in. It's a shoo-in.
Yeah, and, you know, another side note with Kenley, what makes this even more impressive is not a lot of people may know, but Kenley started off as a catcher. He was coming up through the system as a catcher, and he had a cannon for an arm.
He couldn't hit. That's the reason why.
I believe the first WBC, I think he was a catcher. I want to say for the Netherlands, if I'm not wrong. And, you know, he was gunning guys out left and right, you know, and then, you know, he became a closer. So I know we talk about Mariano. He's the greatest closer of all time. And, you know, he started out as a starting pitcher. But I think it's a little more impressive that Kenley started out as a catcher. And now he's, you know, potentially moving into the top three all time in saves. I think that's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, he's, like I said, he's a beast. And Kimbrell's a beast, too. Again, they all pitched, you know, they both pitched in the AL East. So, you know, tough games there, and Jansen obviously being a Dodger and pitching for the Dodgers. So, like I said, these guys always pitched in big games. They came through for their teams when they needed the most. You know, I really think that these guys will get it, obviously. Kimbrell doesn't have a team yet, like we were alluding to earlier. But to me, if Kimbrell even gets signed in the middle of the year, I think he has the ability to, you know, to really make an impact for a team and break into this list as well. And it's time to show some closers the love that they need, because they are the guys that you put the most pressure on at the end of a game in order to win games. And they always say, if your closer's not good, your bullpen is probably not that good either. So, you know, for these guys, I'm really happy for these guys, even though Jansen obviously was a Red Sox and I had to, you know, watch my team face him in some big moments. But, you know, as a baseball fan, it's great. It really is great for the game to have all these guys, you know, on this list, you know, whether it's offense, defense, you know, pitching. It's great to see that in 2025 we can see a lot of good things, Mike.
Yeah, I really do. I agree with you 100% here. You know, it'd be nice to see all these guys reach these milestones. And, you know, we do have a couple more that we're going to move on to the hitters. But first, again, like I've mentioned before, guys, if you could please reach out to us and follow us on Instagram at Diamond Discussions 25. You know, drop some of your feedback in the comments section. We're always reading. We're always interested to see what you guys think. Same thing on Twitter at DDiscussions 25. If that's the best way that you could reach us, all power to you, and we'd love to hear from you. But, Joe, I want you to jump into some of the hitting plateaus that we could reach this season.
Oh, yeah, man. We got a bunch, bro. So, we have a couple of guys that are 350, away from 350. We got Judge at 315. Harper, he's 14 away from 350. Arenado, he's 9 away, respectively. Freeman is 7 away, and Machado is 8 away. I mean, this list alone is already Hall of Fame worthy, right? I mean, it's pretty unbelievable how we're talking about these guys and they're all, you know, literally at the 350 mark. I mean, my pick, honestly, I know it's a little bit of a flyer and a little bit of a could be a little bit of a controversial pick. I'm gonna go Arenado here. I think he's the first one to get to it.
Really?
Yeah. The only reason why I say that is because I think maybe Freeman may see some, you know, some days where he's a little bit banged up and they may, you know, try to give him some rest. I do think Arenado, for some reason, is going to be playing with a little more juice this year. He tried to, you know, potentially almost got traded and his name's been floating around, you know, going to multiple different teams and teams talking to the Cardinals about trading for him. So maybe he feels like he's a little, he's got a chip on his shoulder,
yeah, maybe.
You know? Okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if Harper had a monster like 2 months and broke it like in May. But I could honestly see maybe Arenado doing it. I know Machado is 8 away, but he's also on the list for something else that we're going to talk about a little later. But yeah, my pick is Arenado. But this is pretty crazy how Judge is only 35 away. I mean, I'm thinking at the end of July, he's going to be at 350, and he's only in the league 7 years. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I could see Judge getting to there. I think that's a solid timetable. I mean, given what Judge has done over the last few seasons, you almost anticipate that. I mean, a healthy Judge, yeah, I don't think 35 by the All-Star break is really out of that realm of possibility. But as far as my pick goes, I'm going to say Machado gets there first. I know he's second as far as the second closest, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the protection in San Diego, you know, I could see Machado getting there first. But you also mentioned that Machado has a couple of other big milestones coming up in his career. And to do this all in one season, I think, could be very impressive. And it's just adding to his resume. So, like we said, Machado is 8 home runs away from 350. He is 9 runs scored away from 1,000. And he is exactly 100 hits away from 2,000 at the age of 32. I mean, we could potentially be looking at a guy that might reach 3,000. And, you know, again, if he finishes his career healthy, I think it's possible that he does it. I believe, like I said, he's 32 years old. So we still got a ways away from that. But, you know, Machado is putting together a very healthy resume to maybe put himself in that conversation to get into the hole. I know he's a Gold Glove third baseman. He's, you know, he's been a phenomenal ball player. I know he's got some issues. You know, a lot of people label him as one of the dirtiest players in baseball with some of the things that he's done. And I haven't been happy with some of the things he's done. But in reality, you know, you can't ignore the numbers. And, you know, just because he's had some blips and some things in his career, maybe he's matured and he's not really that guy anymore. I would hope not, because his talent is through the roof.
It really is, man. I mean, even with Baltimore, you saw like how much of a talent he was, and you know, it's pretty crazy because he'd be the only 55th player to reach 2,000 hits by 32. That's a pretty crazy list. You know, there's been a lot of players in this league, and you know, going in and out, and to have him be the 55th player to reach that list is crazy. I do think he's going to fall short of 3,000, even if he stays healthy, because basically he would need 200 hits from now until the age of 42 every year to get that. So I, you know, within that 5 year, you know, the next 5 years, I don't know if he's going to get that. You know, by the time he's 37, 38, I do think he kind of lands in the Beltran range, Mike, like 2,700 hits. I think that's where he lands off. But the fact that he's already gonna he's gonna get 2,000. He's only 100 away, so he's gonna get it. So another Hall of Fame type player, Mike. He's got to be considered for the Hall of Fame. Both sides of the ball, he's unrelentless.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as long as health is on his side through the remainder of his career, I don't see why not. I don't see why he doesn't get
there. And he's already the Padres franchise home run leader, too. So he's already the leader in, like, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, you know, to see Machado be able to reach these feats, I think this is a very impressive season for him. Again, obviously, if health is on his side. We got two more guys with some home run milestones ahead of us. One is a very good friend of yours because he plays for your team. So if you want to lead that off, go for it.
Yeah, so we have Giancarlo Stanton. He is, you know, obviously he's starting off this year hurt. So, but he's got 429 home runs. He's 21 away from 450. He's three away, actually, from passing Carl Yastrzemski. But if you want to hear another little tidbit about Giancarlo Stanton, he's actually 37 strikeouts away, yes, that's strikeouts away, from 2,000.
You don't want to be on that side of history.
That is pretty crazy. for a power hitter, it's understandable, but 2,000 strikeouts is pretty alarming. So that means that's a lot of swings and misses and a lot of strike three looking.
Stanton, he's been this way pretty much his whole career. His strikeout rate is very high. But listen, he hits the ball. When he makes connection, he hits the ball with authority.
Yes.
Just in my lifetime, some of the guys I've gotten to see, when Stanton gets a hold of one, that crack of the bat is different. And if any of you guys out there have witnessed him play live, which I would assume most of you have, he's a New York guy, he's been here for a while. I would imagine you guys have seen him live and you understand what I'm talking about. That's just a different sound that I've only heard from a handful of guys, you know, growing up and seeing a lot of live games. Pujols was another one that when he got a hold of one, that crack of the bat was just different. Judge is in that realm. You know, there's, it's a very short list in my opinion that it's just when they hit that, it's just so different. It's a different sound. And, you know, Stanton now, listen, he's arguably got one of the most violent swings in baseball because just he's just so big and strong.
And he's literally hurt because of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's crazy.
His swings are literally causing him tennis elbow. It's unbelievable. But not only is he three away from passing, if he gets to 450, that would actually, if he needs three to pass Ripken to be in the top 50 of all time. Do you think if he does that, he's a Hall of Famer? Me personally, I think that would be enough because I only think he's going to hit more than 450. I do think he's got, if he can play, if he's healthy, he's going to surpass 450. And I do think that gets him in the Hall, Mike.
Yeah, I could see him getting into that 500 range. And I think, you know, the 500 mark, I believe, is that threshold for hitters home run wise, that it's kind of an automatic, thing. A healthy Stanton, I could see getting obviously 450. If he's on the field this season and plays most of the season, I see him getting there. Give him another year or two.
He may even pass Yastrzemski, too, to get to 40th. So that could jump him 10 spots if he stays healthy this year.
Yeah, so, I can see him even potentially getting to 500. And, I think that's an automatic thing for the Hall of Fame. So, you know, we got some pretty heavy lists here with guys and what they could do. Another guy who has struggled with the health bug, that is another home run milestone. We have Mike Trout, who I think we're all rooting for across baseball. I don't think it matters who you root for, but the baseball community can come together and say we're all rooting for Mike Trout.
If he didn't hit another home run, I'd be perfectly fine with that, as long as he could play. If they said Mike Trout wouldn't hit another home run, but he'll play every day, I'd rather see him play every day, honestly. It's been a shame that he's missed so much time.
It is, but he is 22 home runs shy of reaching 400. The fact that he's dealt with the injury bug as much as he had, you don't realize how good he's been, or maybe you do. But the fact that he's 22 from 400, I mean, he should have gotten this a couple of years ago.
He could be
maybe
at 550 right now, Mike. He could be approaching 600.
With 500 at this point. I mean, Trout is one of the best talents we have seen of our generation and, of course, baseball altogether. I know a lot of people say if Mike Trout retired today and never played another game that they would automatically say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, just the resume alone with the MVPs, and I believe he's won a Gold Glove or two. You know, he's one of the most dangerous hitters we've ever seen, and just an incredible talent. And like I said, I think the whole baseball community is together. We are rooting for this man to stay healthy. We want to see him on the field.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, like I said, he's been a generational talent. I mean, he was literally the 5'2 player that you want your kid to be, honestly. If there's one guy that you'll put on YouTube for your son or daughter to watch and have them emulate a player that you want them to be, Mike Trout is the guy, honestly. He could really, really, it's just a shame that he couldn't stay on the field, long enough and more, you know. But he would be the eighth player with 400 homers, 200 stolen bases, and 50 triples. If he could stay healthy and get to that, only eight players, that would be unbelievable.
That's incredible company.
Yeah, and the fact that, yeah, and on that list is Barry Bonds, Henry Aaron, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, and Dave Winfield. So, I mean, he's Hall of Fame certified to me. I mean, even with the injuries, Mike, if he could stay healthy and kind of coast through the rest of his career and just be okay, I think he's going to get some of these milestones. And honestly, you got to put an asterisk next to this guy's name, because if he was able to stay healthy, he may honestly have broken Bonds. I think he could have broken Bonds.
I mean, you could make that argument with Griffey, too.
He could be flirting with 600 home runs right now. We could be talking about a guy that could potentially have gotten 700 home runs. And I'm not even joking. He's that good. And honestly, the injuries were the only thing that kept this guy from achieving more, honestly.
Yeah, because, well, listen, when he's on the field, he's at the top of his game constantly. I think, again, like I've said, we're all rooting for him to be healthy. And now that he's moving over to right field, listen, if he should have
that 5 years ago. Shame on the Angels, honestly.
I agree with that also.
They could have saved him 5 years ago.
Yeah, agreed, because you want to do the best thing possible to keep this guy healthy. And, you know, look, him going over to right field, if he stays on the field, you're talking about this guy. He could be in the conversation for the, you know, maybe the top 10 right fielders in baseball right now, healthy. And you're talking a conversation that Aaron Judge, Kyle Tucker, and Juan Soto are in. So, you know, you would put Trout in that company. Do I say he's better than Judge right now? Maybe not, but he's still, arguably, he could be a top three.
If he's on the field, Mike, he might be. He could be. If he stays on the field, literally, it was never his ability. It was his availability.
Yeah.
Literally.
And, you know, I think we talk about it all the time with guys that, you know, have had the injury bug. And, you know, we don't want to see it. Baseball fans, you know, we know injuries are the sad part of our game. But, you know, it's not what we want to see. And it doesn't matter who you root for. You know, I root for everybody to stay healthy, because it just makes the competitiveness of the game so much better. I mean, you know, it's an unfortunate thing that has happened to Trout throughout his career. But, you know, listen, it is what it is, and he still has put up amazing career numbers, even dealing with the injury bug. And you could almost compare him to Griffey, because
yeah,
Griffey was another guy. I mean, listen, if Griffey stays healthy, you're talking 800 home runs.
Yeah, honestly, we're talking about two guys that really, really, really could have had numbers that I don't think anybody else would have broken. Yeah, we would have never, ever seen them again.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel, you know, a lot of the younger fans that with Griffey in mind, that they saw the latter part of Griffey's career where he was hurt, and, you know, he was dealing with a lot of that stuff towards the end, and he was still able to hit over 600. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, it's insane. It really is.
Another unfortunate situation. But listen, he got to where he got, even dealing with that injury bug, and Griffey was one of the best gamers out there. He's one of my favorites of all
100%.
Time. But going into the last one, and we're going to maybe save the best for last on this list. Now that Pete Alonso is back with the New York Mets, he has the opportunity to become the all-time leader in home runs in a Mets uniform. And, you know, not a lot of people realize that the Mets have not had a lot of hitters for a long period of time. I think if David Wright stayed healthy, he obviously would have surpassed. Darryl Strawberry holds the record at 252. So Alonso is 27 home runs away. Now, you're going to hear it here first on this show. Mark these words. Pete Alonso is going to break the Mets' all-time record at home July 4th weekend against your Yankees. Tell me I'm wrong. You heard it here first.
Well, listen, if that's even in the realm of possibility, that means Alonso's going to have a 45 to 50 home run season.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
And that's 100% doable for a guy that's had, what was his, 54, I think it was his best year? Was that his rookie year? He broke the rookie record. He broke Judge's record. I think it might have been 54. But listen, it's definitely in the it's definitely a possibility. I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna disagree with you, just the way Judge disagrees with Soto about them winning the World Series.
I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, you know, we have a whole season to talk about.
Oh, 100%, 100%. But listen, like I said, listen, just to be someone, you know, obviously who's realistic. I definitely think it could be a possibility. Alonso definitely has the ability to go on a tear. He could have 10 home a month. I wouldn't be surprised if Alonso was sniffing it by the July 4th weekend. He's got the ability. I'm not going to ever say that he doesn't. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't want to see that happen.
No, of course I don't. Not against my team. Do it against any other team.
It's happening. I'm telling you. You heard it here first. I'm calling my shot.
Or you know what? I don't even mind if he did. The Yankees could be up if they're up 13-0 in the eighth and Alonso does it and it's meaningless. That's okay too.
Well, listen, that's a story for another day. But I will tell you this: I don't think you guys have the offense to put up 13.
Oh, look at that! There it is.
And just to give you the correction, Alonso had the rookie record with 53 in 2019.
53.
He beat out Judge by one home run, who had 52 in 2017.
But in my defense now, you guys don't have the pitching to not give up 13 runs.
Here we go. You're gonna bring it on with some Clay Holmes stuff.
I didn't even mention him. Don't do that to yourself now.
Well, all right, look, so Alonso, I'm glad he's back in New York and he has the opportunity to break this record. I think we all want to see it. So like I said, Strawberry had 252, and David Wright, again, a healthy David Wright, completely surpasses his record in my opinion. He was only 10 shy of Strawberry. The unfortunate thing with David Wright, I think aside from triples and stolen bases, which I believe is Jose Reyes, David Wright pretty much leads all offensive categories for the New York Mets in all-time history with hits, games played, all that.
It's so what a crazy stat.
Yeah, it is. Again, the injury bug, and it's unfortunate what happened with Wright, but, you know, not to take away from him. But, again, I am beyond happy that Alonso has the opportunity to do this. And, listen, he is on somewhat of a prove-it deal with the Mets, potentially, where, you know, he has the ability to opt out. So I think he learned a little from last year with maybe pressing a little too much. I think Alonso is going to go back to his form, and you know, with the protection in this lineup and what the Mets have, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that Alonso can get 27 by July 4th weekend. And like I said, you heard it here first. Alonso is going to break that record at home against the Yankees.
And the Yankees will win 13-1, like we just said.
I don't know about that.
No, but yeah, definitely. Listen, if it doesn't happen July 4th weekend, it's happening at some point. He's definitely going to mash enough to break the record. So, which again is going to be pretty cool, like we said, to see all these players, you know, reach these cool accolades that could potentially cement their careers into the Hall of Fame status and only further some of these guys' careers as well. So, it's definitely going to be awesome for 2025, man, for real.
Yeah, again, you know, we've got some big milestones ahead with a lot of big names that, you know, could all potentially reach the Hall of Fame. So we're going to ask you, guys, in the comment section, please, which milestone do you think is maybe the most impressive out of all the guys we named? And maybe which milestone are you looking forward to the most? You know, we want to hear from you. We want to see what you guys think. You know, and again, if not in the comments section here, you could please do it on Instagram at DiamondDiscussions25 and also on our Twitter account at DDiscussions25. We're going to put up a post about this short that we have going tonight. And, you know, listen, just leave it in the comments. Tell us which milestone you think is the most impressive and maybe which milestone are you most looking forward to. Guys, I just, again, we both want to thank you. You know, we love to entertain or at least try to entertain. I hope we did that for you on this short here. So, you know, again, for all our listeners out there, we just want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance and giving us a listen.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really do appreciate it and all the love. And, you know, like I said, you know, like Mike said, just, you know, if you hit us up, we want to actually, you know, if you have questions and comments, we want to read them on the air. We want to bring it to the air. We could, you know, maybe even create a debate about it. So
yeah, we want to get you guys more involved.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys. So, you know, thanks again for the love and support. And we'll be getting back to you guys shortly with some more episodes. Thanks, guys.